You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Those who would trade freedom for security deserve neither. Let us meet the challenge voiced by Abraham Lincoln. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation. We here hold the power and bear the responsibility. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of man on earth.
The words of President Ronald Reagan, 1985, talking about the great struggle being faced by us and the world. That was, again, 1985. This is July 13th, 2021. And look where we are now, with this nation and teetering closer to Marxism and communism than recently. You just look at the makeup of our members of Congress. It's very clear how many of them got into Congress and the Senate, and their plan is to change, dramatically transform this country, the last great hope for the world. As it's been said, once there's no America, where do you find refuge? This is still the beacon on the hill. And we've got to fight every step of the way against those who would transform us, move us closer into Marxism and then communism and all forms of socialism, and talk about if you're not going to allow your 12-year-old to make their own decision, if they want to change from a boy to a girl or a girl to a boy. If you're not going to allow your 12-year-old to make that decision, then we might consider taking your kids away from you because you're not being a good parent. You're not caring for them properly. Is this what you want? And look what's happening in Cuba, even now. A lot of what's going on right now, we have to admit, we're not really sure, because guess what? The Cuban communist government is duplicating what big tech companies have been doing, continue doing in this nation. They don't like what you say, how you say it, what you speak, what your ideas are. They will pull the plug. If they can do it to President Donald Trump, they can do it to you and certainly to me. But in Cuba, just 90 miles from our shore, 11 million have been living under communist regime for 60 plus years. And in fact, the Soviet Union was going to be placing, if some of you will recall, missiles just 90 miles from our shore in Cuba. A Democrat who would not recognize today's Democrat, a Democrat, JFK, put up a blockade. And we were at a very perilous time. I remember a high school football coach telling me, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. And then he kind of added, I don't know if any of us will be here next week. Because he was being activated for any possible incursion into Cuba or to defend our shores and or to be ready in case we were hit by nukes fired from Cuba into the U.S. Fidel Castro died. His brother Raul took over. Now Raul last April turned it over to still another communist leader. That was back in April. And now we're seeing the people say enough is enough. And yet if you watch and listen to the state-controlled media of this country, not Cuba, this country, they want to tell you it's not that the folks are upset with communism. That's not the issue. It's not even socialism. They're upset with a dictatorship. What does that say? Is that not one of those two are named? Oh, and also they're upset because there's too much COVID. We are not withholding COVID supplies. We've offered them and they refused them. Cuba said we'll do our own. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What you're seeing the Democrats do here is a political stunt. And, you know, I will say it's ironic. As they were getting on their private jet to fly to Washington, D.C., they almost surely had to show identification to get on that jet. And yet they're doing this in a fit because they don't want mail-in ballots to be verified. They don't want the signatures to be verified. They don't want basic integrity steps to be strengthened in the state of Texas. This is, at the end of the day, politics.
It is politics, clearly. That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, making it very clear that this little stunt taken by the Democrats of Texas is just that. It's political theater. Oh, they knew they would get coverage, and they relished it. They enjoyed it. They bask in it. They glorify themselves with it as a state-controlled media shows them on their private plane that they chartered, and no one in the picture that they released that I assume was taken by someone with them, maybe another member of the state legislature of Texas, Democrats, no one is wearing a mask, sitting right next to each other. Why do I make that point at all? Well, first of all, you heard Senator Cruz said, I'll bet they had to show an ID to get on that plane. Well, I guess they may not have had to since it's a private charter that they arranged. I don't know. But they took two planes to D.C. to get out of Texas so they could not be forced to vote on a GOP elections overhaul bill. This is not the first time this has happened in Texas. Not the first time Democrats have done this little political theater. And I'll give you some more details on that in a moment. But I do want to point out before I leave the issue about them on the plane without any mask, when they arrive in D.C. and they're getting off the buses that took them from the airport to D.C., to the Capitol, where they're disembarking, they are all wearing masks. Yes. Every one of them have been vaccinated. And they're all wearing masks. Because they're trying to show this is what you should do. Howsomever, again on the plane trip, obviously, they were not. They were not doing it. So what's at stake? What triggered this run? Run. That's what cowards do, you know. When they're faced with a fight, they run. Now, if you can avoid a fight, I always recommend avoiding. But they're running in this case, not so much out of fear, but again, for political theater. But they're still running. And Governor Greg Abbott, Texas Republican, obviously criticizing them as well. See, what these Democrats have decided to do, if we leave, if we get enough of us out of the state, then the governor's special session will not have a quorum. Governor Abbott last night was again defending the bill, saying these missing lawmakers, I love this. Here's an exact quote from him. Once they step back into the state of Texas, they will be arrested and brought back to Capitol, and we will be conducting business. And again, they have a precedent for it. They have a law for it, which I'll let Senator Cruz explain shortly. But the Democrats are just trying to block voting measures, and they're doing it on the same lies they've been saying about Georgia. It's going to be Jim Crow type laws. There are no Jim Crow type laws in Texas, Georgia, or any state. Do your history. Don't take my word for it. Do your own history. You look at Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow laws imposed restrictions on voting rights of mainly black Americans, putting an onus on them that you had to be a property owner if you're going to vote. Well, obviously, many of them, if any of them, were actual property owners. They might be a sharecropper where they're holding the land and then have to turn the produce or whatever they're growing over to the master of the land. But they didn't really own it. It could be taken away from them. Jim Crow law said you may have to pay a tax to be able to vote. You have to come up with some money. A lot of them didn't have any extra money for that, if any. And there were a lot of whites in both of those categories, and they got to vote. And a third item that sometimes is introduced, okay, so you have some land, and maybe you can afford the poll tax, but can you really read? You're going to have to prove to us you can read. No white person had to ever prove that in Jim Crow days. Not one. That was voter restriction. That was wrong. That was imposed by Democrats. Not Republicans, Democrats. So again, they do this little stunt. They say, you know, well, here's the deal. We're just going to run out the clock on this special session that ends early next month. The governor said, we have special sessions that last 30 days. The governor, speaking of himself, calls them, and I will continue calling special session after special session because over time it is going to continue until they step up to vote. Now, riddle me this quickly. We already know where they stand. We know they want to make up lies and false reports about any law change, such as purging the rolls of people who have died, or purging the rolls if their address does no longer match
to who's living there, are purging the rolls because a person moved out of state. That is simple voter credibility protection. And voter ID? Georgia, which made the big noise about it? Well, they had several points. One of them, all our people, well, they won't be able to get food and water. They'd stand in line in the hot Georgia sun for maybe 3 hours to vote. No, that was not true either. Food and water, they could either bring with them or it could be delivered to them as long as it wasn't a campaign worker trying to elicit a favor of a vote. So that was a lie. And voter ID, while Stacey Abrams would be governor of New York, of Georgia, continued to insist that's also a bad thing for us. Now she's saying, oh, no, I've always been for it. You know why she's changed? She's done the flip-flop. Well, first of all, they're all hypocrites. And secondly, they're realizing this is not getting us anywhere. We've got to kind of go along with this one. They're not going to make a big deal of it. They're just saying that. But in Texas, they still are trying. Again, Senator Cruz on this political theater.
This stunt is going to fail. They're going to come back. There's going to be a quorum. And I believe the legislature is going to do its job and protect the integrity of elections. Ensure people can vote, but also ensure that we don't have fraud. We don't have people casting illegal votes.
That's what we're after. We want free and fair elections. If Democrats were honest, that's what they also want. But they really don't want a free and fair election if they're going to lose. I said the JFK of yesterday bears no resemblance to these Democrats. In fact, Obama really bears no real resemblance to these Democrats. And the lies they perpetuate. They did get Obama to kind of do one of their speeches for him at one point regarding the Georgia election laws, kind of throw it in there where he's saying, you know, there are efforts underway to prevent people from voting. That is a lie. And it's costing Georgia millions upon millions of millions. And mainly minority-owned businesses in the state of Georgia, in Atlanta, and minorities who work in Atlanta, maybe at the ballpark. Why? Well, because tonight is the MLB All-Star Game. But because Stacey Abrams and Senator Warnock and others were all complaining that the election laws are unfair. The companies, you need to wake up. You need to be woke. Well, Atlanta-based Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines quickly put out a statement, okay, this is bad. This is bad. MLB decided, you know, we're just going to pick up and move. We'll move it to Denver, which is 70% white. So they want all the money that could have gone to minority workers in and around the Atlanta area, not just with the ballpark, but everything along with it. Keep in mind, the game is tonight, but they've had pregame festivities underway since Sunday. Folks have probably been arriving in the Denver area since Saturday, if not Friday, spending dollars and money outside the ballpark. They had the home run derby last night. Oh, rookie Pete Alonso, second rookie to win after Aaron Judge did in 2019. And this rookie won $1 million. That's more than his annual salary with the New York Mets. I only point that out because I'm trying to keep you posted on what did happen. But the real home run and dropped ball belongs to the Democrats not catching and holding what they had in their hand. And as I said earlier, this is not the first time. This is not the first time Democrats have tried this little stunt down in Texas. In fact, I was thinking back on it. I was in Texas at the time it happened. I take it back. I had left Texas by then, but I was watching the story from St. Louis. Senator Ted Cruz had just been appointed his first assignment working with the Texas AG's office.
He certainly remembers what happened.
When I was newly appointed as the Solicitor General of Texas, one of the first questions I ever got is the Speaker of the House of the legislature. The legislature was redistricting then, and the Democrats did the same thing. They fled. That time they fled for Ardmore, Oklahoma, the House members, and then shortly thereafter for Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the Speaker of the House asked the Attorney General, who was then Greg Abbott, my boss, he said, hey, do I have the authority to arrest fleeing legislatures, these Democrats that have left, to break a quorum? And Abbott, in turn, asked me. I did the research, and it turns out the answer is yes. Under the Texas Constitution, there's a provision that explicitly gives the Speaker the authority to arrest fleeing House members. That provision is copied word for word from the U.S. Constitution.
Ah, so see, they had it all based in law at that time, and it still is. I'll bet most of these Democrats are not even aware of that happened in the past. Or maybe some of them got word, hey, this is what they did in the past, let's do it. They should have followed up and found out what happened to those legislators when they came back. And they should be aware that when they step foot back in Texas, they're definitely going to be arrested this time. Of course they're going to get out. They're not going to be spending a lot of time in jail. They'll be getting out so they can go to a special session of the legislature and end up voting anyway. In the midst of all of this, we've got, hopefully, political upheaval in Cuba. But at what price? And yet the Democrats and the state-controlled media don't acknowledge the real problem, the real issue.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden issued a statement saying we stand with the Cuban people and their clarion call for freedom and relief from the tragic grip of the pandemic and from the decades of repression and economic suffering to which they have been subjected by Cuba's authoritarian regime.
Well, those are the words of an MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell reading a statement from the White House. They did acknowledge an authoritarian regime in Cuba, but they really will not acknowledge how it got there and what it really is. It's communist, but they don't want to use that word or even Marxist because some members of the Democrat Congress are in bed with the same kinds of groups. And, of course, they're wanting you to believe this. And all this uprising and this problem they're having down there is now because of COVID. No, it's not. Is COVID helping? No. But all of this dissent and anger and frustration has been underway long before COVID hit the shores of Cuba. And even though Trump did reverse the Obama administration's decision to open up diplomatic and economic relations and then tightened our U.S. embargo and did impose new sanctions, we do not prevent food and medicines from going in. But that's don't let the facts get in the way of the narrative. Because O'Donnell later in that same appearance on MSNBC said, we need to let the U.S. Naval Hospital ship Mercy anchor off Havana where Cubans can see it ready to help. And then let the Cuban dictatorship, now here's a deciding line. I'm surprised he added it. Then let the Cuban dictatorship make its decision whether Mercy's medicine can be delivered to the Cuban people. That says everything. And yet we've got those on the left saying it's all Trump. They keep wanting to put everything on Trump and the sanctions. So, but you just admitted, even if Biden said we're going to send everything there, which we can do anyway, and we do not block food. We do not block medicines that are needed.
They're reporting they're running out of so many things, not even any aspirin, much less COVID vaccine. But there's another part of that story I'll come back to in just a moment. But they want to repeal what they call Trump's cruel sanctions, and that's causing all of this. Cuba still has trade relations with other countries, such as Russia and China and other communist countries. We are preventing U.S. vessels. But they also said even if it's lifted, the Cuban dictatorship would have to make the decision if it's going to be allowed to come in. But here's the other key. The Democrats, in addition to trying to always blame Trump and COVID, now listening to Lawrence O'Donnell, well, he knows more about what the issues and the troubles are in Cuba than even the Cubans do. Listen.
Cuba's problem is not too much socialism, as Republicans would have you believe. It is too much dictatorship, second only to North Korea at this point.
And yet he goes on to say, well, we can put a ship off the shore so Cubans can see it, but we're going to have to let the government decide, dictatorial government decide it's going to come into the ports. That's communism. That's socialism. That is dictatorship, but they want to walk around that term. These guys apparently never got a civics class. Oh, I take it back. They probably did, but they want to rewrite history. They've been able to do it. Why not continue? As I said, there's something like 11 million Cubans on the island, and about 15% have been vaccinated, and Cuba refused originally any COVID we were sending because they were going to develop our own. And they got massive shortages. Before we wrap up today's program, you're going to hear from a guy who will explain how things have been in Cuba. That's coming up a little bit later. But in the next segment, James J. Carafano from the Heritage Foundation will join us with some of the latest of how he sees what is happening in Cuba and how it relates to our shores.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, my guest we've had on before. I know all of you enjoy hearing from him. I'm always glad to have him. James J. Carafano, leading expert in national security and foreign policy challenges with the Heritage Foundation. James, welcome aboard again, sir.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, I tell you, we're all looking at what's happening in Cuba. I noticed that you and contributor Mike Gonzalez, we've had on previously but before as well, did a piece for the Daily Signal talking about how the people of Cuba started standing up Sunday and going to the streets demanding liberty, ending 62 years of communist oppression. And then, of course, it didn't take long for the government to shut down the internet, so a lot of information is not coming out. What do you think is going on right now?
Well, let me tell you my great fear. And I don't think this is being partisan or I just, this is what I really worry about. I look, first of all, the Cuban government has an incredibly powerful security infrastructure, and I seriously doubt they're going to do anything but ruthlessly, squash these protests. But here's what's going to happen, I fear, is that this administration is going to take this, and they're going to say, oh, my God, we have to help the Cuban people. And what they're going to do is use this as an excuse to engage and lift sanctions, which is just absolutely going to have the opposite effect, because everything in Cuba goes through the government, the private sector, NGOs. It doesn't matter. Everything goes through the Cuban government, and they take a cut on everything that comes in that country, which means that any dollar that you send to Cuba, that the vast majority of that money is actually going to go to the regime, and they're going to use that money to enrich themselves and to further crack down on the people of Cuba. So the last thing we should be doing now is say, oh, my God, we've got to help the Cuban people out. And the answer to that is to go back to the Obama policies. Oh, we got to lift the sanctions and, you know, send them everything, because that'll just be a disaster.
Well, first of all, the sanctions, we still allow humanitarian aid in. We've never stopped that if it's needed. And in fact, Cuba rejected COVID vaccines sent in originally, saying we're going to do our own. And so they got 15% of 11 million people vaccinated. So COVID's a real thing. But the problem is the Democrats are saying it's got to be Trump and it's got to be COVID. Could not be the communist dictatorship. And in fact, Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC said the Cuba issue is not too much socialism, it's too much dictatorship. Well, what the hell's the difference at that point?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, what we should be doing is, number one, not enriching a regime which is despicable and is held on for so long, in part because foreign countries, the Russians, the Chinese, and even Europeans and the Canadians, have engaged and enriched this regime and are propping it up. That's the last thing we should be doing. And, of course, the other thing that we should be doing is this is a moment to have a real honest discussion. If you look at the doctrines that are professed by the left in America, whether it's Black Lives Matter, racism, anti-racism, or any of this other stuff, this is the language and the doctrine of the people that rule Cuba. Cuba is the result of socialism.
But they won't admit that, will they? In fact, Lawrence O'Donnell, Lawrence O'Donnell even added in his same remarks I just told you, where he said that we should step in and do things like this because the Republicans aren't. He said Biden should let our U.S. Naval Hospital ship Mercy anchor off Havana where Cubans can see it ready, and then the Cuban dictatorship has to make a decision whether the medicine can come in. So it does nothing for us to send boatloads of material there. The Cuban dictators, you said, they're going to decide who gets it if it gets in.
We are missing an opportunity to be isolated. What we should be doing is saying, look, we are going to hold this regime accountable for every atrocity and abuse that they do, and say we're going to be looking. You're going to disappear people. You're going to arrest people illegally. You're going to maybe even throw people out of the country. We're going to hold you accountable for every single crime that you do. Now is not the time to call the Cuban dictatorship. But this is, of course, the great frustration for the Biden administration. Half of their political leadership believes that communism and socialism are good things. They like the government
of
Cuba.
Sure, they do.
But they're going to get
theirs first in line, because that's what we see with like the BLM founder. I got my money. I'm going to go buy my million-dollar homes. I'm out of the struggle now. I'm done.
But the flip side of that is, last time I checked, Florida is a swing state, and its electoral votes matter a lot. And I deeply suspect that any criticism that the administration did throw out there is simply because that if they actually don't condemn this, they'll never get another vote in Florida.
You're echoing what I heard one Republican say yesterday, that at this rate, they've lost Florida for the foreseeable future. You also are quoting in your piece that the Miami mayor tweeted late Sunday
the Cuban regime's military police shooting at unarmed Cuban protesters, shooting at them. Now, anything like that happen in this nation, these unarmed protesters, even if they're looting, burning, assaulting, throwing stuff, Molotov cocktails at federal marshals or police, no one fired back in the, into the masses, but I have no doubt it's happening just like that in Cuba.
Yeah, I think Cuba aside, what this incident really does is it does show the fundamental weakness of this administration. You know, on the one hand, they're loath to criticize or distance themselves from the radical elements of their party, which have no love of this country other than to turn it into places that look like Moscow, Beijing, and Havana. And this administration can't stomach to push them out. And on the other hand, they're just very risk averse and afraid to do anything. And everything is about domestic politics.
Sure,
so they put out a very weak statement that sounds kind of semi-critical of the regime, simply because, you know, someday they're going to have to campaign in Florida again. And they want to say, well, I told
you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're listening to James J. Carafano of The Heritage. Jim, along that point, what all of this is happening, just 90 miles from our shore, we know that hundreds, thousands have on their own tried to make that 90-mile voyage and many dying along the way, trying to get into this country. I don't see anyone trying to flee the U.S. to get into Cuba. And yet Bernie Sanders said the other day, well, I'm all for the people, the struggle in Cuba and the people. But he also turns around and says, you know what, we like the government, basically.
Well, again, I think it just reflects the fundamental inconsistencies of this administration, which the only thing that unites every single element of their pillar, and again, it's not a political statement. This is the assessment, as I say it, is none of this is about what is in the best interest of Americans and what is best in the best interest of the cause of liberty and freedom. There's none of that in
right.
any of their policies.
That was my point, too, in the sense that the Democrat that put the first blockade up and started those sanctions, JFK, kept Cuban missiles, communist missiles, from being 90 miles from our shore, and that Democrat would not recognize or be accepted by today's radical progressive left Democrats.
Look, the Democratic... But again, this isn't about politics, but, you know, with my historian hat on, the only way Democrats ever regained national office is they had to out communists, the anti-communists, right? They had to prove that they actually loved this country and would fight for this country. And that's the only way that JFK even managed to pull even with Richard Nixon. And for years, you know, combating communism was a bipartisan truism, right?
It was accepted
on the Democrats or well, Jacob Javits, the Republican. The one thing everybody agreed on is communism is not for America.
Well, now, Jim, along that point in our last minute, among those demonstration pictures that we have seen, they're often carrying U.S. American flags, lifting them up, using them to rally around, while in this nation we have folks dismissing them, spitting on them, burning them. They have that right in this country. Doesn't mean it's correct for them to do it. But here in Cuba, they are hoisting that flag because we are a beacon on the hill.
Well, whether you don't like the flag or American holidays or American history, if you look at all those criticisms, whether it's BLM or anti-racism or critical race theory or Bernie Sanders or all of their thinking, all of their rationale, all of their doctrine are rooted in Maoist doctrine, Marxist doctrine, ideas that were created to undermine the legitimacy of free societies and overthrow our governments. So it's not surprising that people around the world that want freedom fly the American flag. And here in America, people that want to change this country, the American flag and the American history and its holidays are their enemies.
Yeah. James, I always appreciate you taking time to join us, sir. Your insight is valuable for us.
Thank you, my friend.
We'll do it again. James J. Carafano, leading expert, national security, foreign policy challenges with the Heritage Foundation. I tell you what, let's do, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
Ronald Reagan figures greatly in what's happening in Cuba, as well as some previous statements he made. We're going to get into more of that in the second hour. But when we return in this next segment, let's have a little laugh. Let's have a little laugh with Ronald Reagan. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
An evangelical minister and a politician arrived at Heaven's Gate one day together. And St. Peter, after doing all the necessary formalities, took them in hand to show them where their quarters would be. And he took them to a small single room with a bed, a chair, and a table, and said this was for the clergyman. And the politician was a little worried about what might be in store for him. And he couldn't believe it then when St. Peter stopped in front of a beautiful mansion with lovely grounds, many servants, and told him that these would be his quarters. And he couldn't help but ask. He said, but wait, how? There's something wrong. How do I get this mansion while that good and holy man only gets a single room? And St. Peter said, you have to understand how things are up here. We got thousands and thousands of clergy. You're the first politician who ever made it.
Oh, you got to love it. You got to love it. That's Ronald Reagan, the great communicator. That was an address he gave in 2009 to the National Association of Evangelicals and had a little fun in the process. He could often do that. He could take something that would appear to be extremely somber and serious, and yes, if it demanded that on a consistent basis, he could do that. But he could also find ways, since he was called the great communicator, of ways to kind of reach across the aisle and reach across and bring others in, where it's pretty hard to be so angry with him. I had the great privilege, and I do consider it a great privilege, I want to estimate 50 to 60 journalists from across the nation invited to a lunch with President Reagan. It began with us coming together and getting briefings adjacent to the White House. At that time, the big deal was the Iran-Contra money, arms for rebels and so forth. At that time, Larry Buchanan was on the Reagan staff, Caspar Weinberger's defense secretary, Larry Speaks was all part of it. They would come and kind of talk to us in this auditorium, and we could ask questions. Listen, you give me a chance to do that, I'm like the dog. I'm going to chase that car down the street as long as you let me. So no one else is asking questions, so I did. I wasn't trying to monopolize anything. I mean, if someone has had another question, well, obviously, do it. But very few, I think, had really prepared and maybe even understood the things. I'm not trying to make myself that important in this process. I'm simply saying often reporters sometimes are sent. Maybe they didn't volunteer, didn't really want it, or they at the last minute had to go, and they didn't have time to prep and get ready. That has to be taken into account, because there have been times that I've been in such a situation. The difference with me and any of them, I will have to admit, is I'm a Texan, and I have a BS degree.
And I use it all the time if necessary. But anyway, we were doing all this interviewing and of these various members of the cabinet. Like I said, Caspar Weinberger speaks. Pat Buchanan. And then we were all supposed to go across to the White House for lunch with the president. They said, but before you go, we need some people to come up here first. First name called, Larry Connors. I thought, oh, I guess I lost my invitation to lunch. Not going to happen. Well, I gather my stuff up. I go up there and wait for the others to show up. And there were six others, if I remember. They said, all of you will be seated with the president during lunch. Well, thank you. Thank you. So we went over there. It's a large round table set for 10. I'm on the far side of it, but still, it's you're that close to the president. I think one of his aides was to one side and another reporter on the other side. I expected him to come in and just sit down and take a sip or two of his tea and do his speech and then be gone. No, he came in and sat there for almost at least 40, 45 minutes just talking while we were eating. In fact, one of his aides had come over and said, Mr. President, we need to do this, get you on schedule. Oh, okay. And, of course, I tried again to get a few questions in, but I was polite. I mean, you honor the man, you honor the office. And even Tip O'Neill, who was the majority leader for the other side, would have been nice to the president for a lunch. It was a highlight of my life. It really was. I will always remember that. Coming up in the next hour, we want to focus more on what's happening in Cuba. And you're going to hear from a Cuban immigrant giving you the real story of what's been happening. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.